Well, thank you for being here again. I'm just grateful each and every time that we are able to gather together as God's people. We come together, I believe, as a church family every Sunday for a purpose. We come together for the purpose of praising our Father and worshiping our Father and learning from Him and having God to speak and to minister to us in the ways in which He does. We come together to commune with God the Father through Christ the Son. But I firmly believe as we come together, that we come together for change. That God, as He brings us together as His people, that God brings us together for a purpose. And that purpose is that He would continue to transform us through Jesus. And so I'm grateful for each of you who have chosen to be here this morning. I have spoken and preached in some pretty strange places over the years. I've preached in the mountains of Central America. I've preached in the African bush. And I never speak in a more strange place than when VBS comes around every year. And I just want to mention this morning, as you look around the building, if you can look in the foyer and look around in a lot of the classrooms and the transformation that has been going on, especially over the last week, there is such a great amount of work and effort that is put into Vacation Bible School each and every year. And so I am very grateful for those who have been a part of bringing things together for VBS, those who will be a part each evening, those of you who will send your kids and grandkids and neighbors' kids and make sure that they are here. And what a blessing that is. Not only to our own kids, you know, in general, each year we have about half of those kids who come to VBS are associated with us, and the other half, they're from the community. And what a blessing that is to be able to minister to our community in that way. And so I'm just grateful for the work that goes into events like Vacation Bible School. We've been in the Psalms on Sunday mornings, if you've been here with us recently, finding ourselves in the Psalms week after week. When you look to Scripture and you think about it, Scripture is primarily God's Word to humanity. Scripture is God's Word to us. In Scripture, what we hear is the voice of God. God as He communicates Himself. God as He communicates His Son. God as He communicates His Spirit. God as He communicates His covenant. God as He communicates His heart, His love for us. However, when we look to the Psalms are primarily humanity's word to God. In the Psalms are primarily the words of humanity to God. Humanity speaking to God, crying out to God. Humanity praising God. You ever listen to a little child pray? Maybe like, I don't know, three to 7 years old, before they get quite old enough to where, you know, they're too cool. But a little child, have you ever listened to them pray and then to listen to the things that they will pray about? I mean, sometimes they provide a little bit of comic relief. You never quite know what they're going to pray for. But the littlest of things that the littlest of children will pray for, if we're at the dinner table, I will in general pray, and then afterwards, sometimes Shelby will want to pray. And so how will she pray? Everybody will, you know, will still have their heads down, and we'll all be holding hands, and then she'll kind of like look around the table. And so she'll thank God for, you know, for Daddy and for Mommy and for Jacob and for Bowen and for Casey and Mason and Mackenzie and Gracie. And then she'll thank God for the chicken or the mashed potatoes. And then she'll pray, oh God, please let there be pecan pie for dessert. Oh wait, no, that's my prayer, sorry. But think about what the littlest of children will pray for. We'll be putting the girls to bed at night. And I may have prayed, and you know, the rest of the family may have already prayed, but sometimes Gracie, our youngest one, just turned 4-year-old, she'll want to pray. And what does she pray for? She'll thank God for her bed and for her covers and for the pillow And then she'll name the dolls all one by one. Think about how little children, how they pray. Everything's a gift from God. Even if they don't quite understand what it is that they're doing. Of course, certainly none of us fully comprehend the depths of prayer. But they view and they see everything as a gift from God. Well, the question that I want to begin with this morning is, when do we lose that? Or when do we lose sight of that? In Scripture, we hear the voice of God. God, as He communicates Himself, His Son, His covenant, His heart to us. In Scripture, we hear the voice of God, but particularly in the Psalms. The Psalms are primarily our words to God, humanity speaking, humanity crying out, humanity praising God. And so it's no wonder that we find ourselves gravitating toward the Psalms as they express our hearts to God. With me so far with this? Our psalm that we're going to look at this morning is Psalm 84, if you want to go ahead and turn in that direction. Our emphasis thus far, if you've been here on Sunday mornings over recent weeks, we've primarily focused upon God and God being our sanctuary, but we're beginning to turn our attention in a slightly different direction. Not only is God our sanctuary, and as we looked at last week, we are to be one another's sanctuary, to provide safety, to provide security. That not only is God our refuge, not only is God our sanctuary, but we've begun to focus in the direction of the reality that also we are His. Psalm 84 is a beautiful psalm that moves us in that direction, beginning in verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This is a psalm that's written in exile. The psalmist is an Israelite, and he's in exile. The temple of the Lord, it lies in ruin, and the people of the Lord are scattered. And there is this pain in his words. There's this pain and this desperation and this yearning as the psalmist articulates how he craves closeness and fellowship with God and his people. As he's living in a world that's hostile, and as he's yearning for sanctuary. You and I, we live in a world that is hostile. You need not look beyond the evening news or your news feed to be reminded that we live in a hostile world. But the world's always been hostile. We look to the world around us and we see a world that's spiraling out of control. But the reality of it is, the world has been spiraling out of control since Genesis chapter 3. We live in a world that's hostile, and yet we seek to foster an environment of safety. We seek to foster an environment of security for our families, for ourselves, for others. And especially as followers of Jesus, we seek to foster a life in which God the Father, through Christ the Son, through His Spirit, lives and dwells within us and brings peace and sanctuary in the lives that we live. Because as God dwells within us, the result is peace. Peace within us and peace within others. Keep reading. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And then there's that word, Selah. composer of the psalm is saying, think about that. Before you just rush forward, think about those lines. Think about the things that have been said. Blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. They're ever praising you. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, who are intent in being in the Lord's presence, those who have set their hearts upon pilgrimage. I don't know about you. I don't know what your morning looked like this morning as you came to church. Maybe you're an early riser. And especially on Sundays, you get up on Sunday and you have a time to relax, to be at peace, maybe to have coffee and to read Scripture and to pray and to center yourselves and just anticipate coming together on Sunday morning with God's people. Maybe that's your practice. Maybe that's your norm. Maybe that's been your norm for years. For you, I don't know, maybe in coming in this morning, especially for first service, maybe you broke several laws of man and a few laws of physics just to be here on time as you slid into your parking space. It's interesting and maybe even a little bit concerning how we will at times, especially those of us with families at home, how we'll be making this mad dash to be able to come to church. And everybody's frantically running to the car, and the kids are in the back, and they're fighting, and I'm trying to keep everybody to, you know, just calm down. And I'm like, don't make me come back there. I mean, I'm driving the car, but don't make me come back there. And I'm, you know, trying to just, you know, it's just crazy trying to splat legs, or smack legs back there. And sometimes I'll end up getting someone else that I'm not supposed to get. I'm sorry, that's just a casualty of being back there. And then we'll pull into the parking lot, right? And we'll get out. And we'll walk into the door, Brother Carroll, how you doing this morning? Right? I don't know what your journey to church looked like this morning. But I think about this idea of pilgrimage. Especially the idea of pilgrimage as it connects and relates to the church the world over. Not only the church the world over for all time, but just the church the world over today. Think about those who live in hard places. Larry, whenever he prayed for those who minister and serve in other countries. I think of those who live in hard places, desolate places. The church in the mountains and in the deserts and in the slums and in the villages of third world countries. As the church is gathering together today, to worship, to encounter God. And how you and I, as we worship, and as we commune, and as we encounter God today, here in this moment, we're a part of something that is so much greater than we are. But the reality of it all is that we encounter God and we make this pilgrimage not only to God, but this pilgrimage with God. And God, He offers sanctuary, He offers peace, and He offers it every moment of every day. That's what Christ accomplishes on the cross, as Christ gives up His Spirit on the cross, and as the curtain of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom, it demonstrates in a physical way the spiritual reality that God makes possible as through Christ we encounter God and we journey with God as we make a pilgrimage with God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. Verse 6. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till it appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Selah. Verse 9. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, and you've seen that designation in various forms throughout these 12 verses. O Lord Almighty, Yahweh El Shaddai, God who is all-powerful. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the one who trusts in You. Better is one day in Your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day in Your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. The psalmist writes, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's a choice that's made. Choosing to be near God. Choosing to be close to God. Choosing to encounter God and to make pilgrimage with God. And I wonder if that's how we feel about God. Maybe if I could be a little bit personal, I wonder if that's how you feel about God right now. Better's one day in Your court. Better's one day near You and close to You than 1,000 that I could spend elsewhere. I wonder if we can genuinely acknowledge that to God today. God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters more than being in Your presence, than being close to You. I wonder if we can genuinely, each of us, acknowledge that to God today. And if we can't, I wonder if we can at least bring ourselves to acknowledge to God, God, I want more than what I currently have. I want more from You than what I'm currently experiencing in my faith, in my walk, my life, in my walk, in my journey. I wonder if we can acknowledge to God the ways that we're failing Him and the ways that we're not measuring up to Him, because no one knows better than we do. And I wonder if we're not close to Him, if we're not embracing this peace that He offers us, I wonder if we can at least concede today and acknowledge to God that we're not. It's not as if He doesn't know, right? But I wonder if just for a moment, we could try to find the capacity within us to be honest with God and honest with ourselves. If we're not living up to what He desires of us, if we can at least acknowledge that we want more to faith and more to our life of faith and more to our journey than what we're currently experiencing with Him. If we can just confess to Him, God, I want to be near to You. Better is one day in Your courts, the psalmist says, than 1,000 elsewhere. It sounds a little bit like the words of Jesus, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Which evokes the question, what's your treasure? Or maybe even the question of where is your treasure? Psalm 84, this is a psalm of encountering God. But we encounter God only to the extent, only as we are aware of Him. As believers, God, He resides within us. But how aware are we? Are we as aware and as close to Him as we ought to be? Are we as aware and as close to Him as He calls us to be? Are we as aware and as close to Him as we were when we first believed? Are you as close or closer to God than you were when you first believed? If the answer is no, that is not God's desire for you. His desire is that we would be close to Him, that we'd be near to Him. Are we aware and closer to Him right now than ever before? Because we've grown in faith and faithfulness. Because we've come to the conclusion, better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Or has sin or Satan or selfishness or pride or apathy or busyness or fill in the blank, have something or a number of somethings gotten in the way? The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, where Blake read for us from a few moments ago, the Apostle, he says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." Now don't mishear him. The Apostle is not saying that Christ lacks any way, or that His sacrifice is lacking in any way. Ultimately, what Paul is attempting to communicate to the Colossian believers and to us is this question of, is the gospel enough? And Paul says, if maybe my life and my faithfulness and the sacrifices that I'm making can somehow compel you to recognize what God has done in the gospel of Jesus, so be it. I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission that God gave me to present to you the Word of God in all of its fullness. The mystery, this mystery that's been kept hidden for all ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, among the world. The glorious riches of this mystery. What's the mystery? Christ in you. The hope of glory. Over the next couple of weeks, as a church family, we're going to be considering, not only does God desire to be our sanctuary, not only is He our sanctuary, but we are His. Christ in you. The hope of glory. As Christ dies upon the cross, the curtain of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom, demonstrating what God offers us today, now, in this moment, through the gospel. Access to God. Closeness with God. Not only does God design this, He wants it. He sacrifices His own Son so that we might have life. Who would have designed it that way? Who would do that? I mean, we might be willing to die for someone else. But who of us would sacrifice a child? It's not within us. There are some ways that we are just not enough like God. But that's what makes the gospel of Jesus so wonderful. It's what makes the cross so beautiful. It's what makes the empty tomb so powerful. God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. His desire is to be our sanctuary, for us to turn and to run to Him for rescue. His desire is to be our sanctuary and somehow for us to be His as He dwells within us through His Spirit. And my hope is that this hope would prompt us to move closer to God. And my hope today is that this reality would prompt you to be closer to God. We're going to sing an invitation song. Perhaps if your desire is to be closer to God or to be near to Him, to be found in Him, maybe your not only your desire, but your need is to be baptized into Christ. What greater environment to be baptized into Christ in today? You would forever remember the timing, circumstances, people. What better day to accept Christ as Lord in baptism? If we can bless you in some way, come forward as we stand and as Adam leads us in song.